Everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I've got my co-host today, Mr. Mike Dell, on board. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Todd. Long time no see.
Yeah, what's it been, 24 hours?
Something like that.
Yeah, we had the whole team down in Columbus, at least the majority of the team. Sean and Kathy weren't in from the West Coast, but we had a pretty good group.
Yeah, pretty much everybody else.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got a lot to talk about today. And of course, we want to welcome you to Podcast Insider. And this is the official Blueberry podcast. And as a reminder, we're always looking for guests to tell their genesis stories of their shows. If you're a Blueberry customer and you want to be on the show, you can email Mike, Todd, or McKenzie. Use our first names at blueberry.com. That'll get to us. Let us know that you want to be on the show. We encourage you to be on. We haven't turned anyone down yet. I don't think yet we might.
No, not that I know of.
Not at all. So anyway, awesome. So let's get into the news.
What's happening? Yeah, let's see. Well, the first thing that I had on the list there was for those of you that are following financial markets and whatnot and watch the morning show on CNBC called Squawk Box. Well, now they have a daily companion podcast called Squawk Pod. So that's pretty cool. I haven't listened to it yet, but it's available on all the usual suspects. But it's kind of cool how these broadcasters and cable broadcasters are doing this. What's nice about it is it's a daily thing that kind of goes along with their daily regular broadcast.
Yep.
But it's not just their regular broadcast. It's something, you know, made for podcasting.
Yep. Well, it's you know, they've got big budgets, big teams, you know, probably you got 20 people working on that thing. I would imagine it, maybe 4 or 5, but
right.
It always cracks me up. And when we're here doing our show and it's, you know, we come together and put it together, then there's, you know, of course, if you're doing a daily one, that takes some work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just, you know, takes us a little time to do a little show prep here and then a little post editing, not too much, you know, just getting the interview in there and a little bit of show notes and all that. And, you know, and it's a weekly thing, but it still takes quite a while.
Yep.
And now, you know, if we tried to do a daily, I don't think we'd have the time for it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So iOS 13.1 is out this morning. Bug fixes. I think they're going to do a 13.2, aren't they?
They're going to have to. But yeah, I was a little surprised. I woke up this morning and my phone had a thing on it that said, hey, 13.1's out. And I thought that was going to be the one that included Apple TV Plus.
Right.
That's due out on the 30th. So that might be 13.2. So
yeah, so it's... they must have found some stuff that needed to be fixed and fixed quickly. I know that they had talked about rolling stuff out. So we'll keep watching here for sure. So there was an article in Pod News this morning, and it talks about some newspapers, multiple newspapers, stealing a story from a podcast and publishing it as its own. So the quarter flips this time. Last time it was a podcast accused of stealing newspaper material. Now you've got a newspaper stealing podcast material. That's curious.
Yeah, it is a little weird. Was it the Daily Star, or it's probably just one of them, one of those London tabloid type newspapers basically took a story from a podcast called A Life Lived and didn't give them any sort of attributions or anything else. So it was just a straight up plagiarism.
Hmm. It's just ridiculous. But you know, everyone's guilty of it, I guess, at this point. And we'll see what the podcaster does, or if the company called, it's been called to attention to it, will make a fix. Oftentimes they don't. They, you know, they're like the big boys. They, you know, they kind of ignore and don't end up, providing a attribution link. So. So good. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, but
Yeah, it's it happens in just about any media where you're going to get people taking ideas from one and or but you know but just straight up copying that's not good. at least yeah. give attribution. You know, when we read a story here, we're not reading the story verbatim, but we're just kind of summarizing it, and we are giving attribution to anything that we get here. And, and I think that should go both ways.
Mm. Yep. Well, let's talk a little bit about Descript. You heard about this new audio editing platform?
Yeah, it sounds a little scary to me.
Well, it's an audio editor, and what's different about it is it provides you a transcript of the show. It basically looks at the waveform, provides a transcript, and then you can edit the actual episode by reading versus looking at the waveform.
Right, and what's a little scary about it is it looks like you can, you know, if you need to change a word or two in the audio, you just change it in the text and it updates it in the audio,
mm-hmm.
which is a little scary because if you get enough recording of somebody, couldn't you kind of make a deep fake of?
Yeah, you could really make a deep fake.
Yeah, so that would be a little scary. That, you know, all the audio out there that people may have of you or I, we could I can make you say anything, and that's a little scary. So now with Photoshop out there, you can't believe anything you see.
Yep.
And with something like this, it might be hard to believe anything you hear.
You know, that's the crazy part about this whole thing is that, and they say they put security functions in. How do you do that?
Yeah, because, I could record, anybody.
Right.
As long as I made the recording of them. Or even take a recording that they made,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know, there's some ethics behind it, but it's no different than Photoshop and, being able to manipulate photos to do, do things. And, now it's happening with audio. And I think I saw a demo not too long ago of some Adobe product where they can do that with video as well.
Yeah. So I think what we're going to see here is some interesting experiments. If you think about it, if we edited this show, we could really, really have fun by editing a few words here and there, and people be like, "How did he say that at that point?"
I'm gonna be playing with this thing,
see if the audience actually, can tell that we changed a word out somewhere, yep. And you can tell whether or not the bot did it or if we just did it on purpose, right?
Yeah, well, we'll definitely have to play around with this. So maybe there'll be some Easter eggs in this episode.
No, that's funny. So let's talk a little bit about the update to PowerPress that's coming this coming Monday. And, of course, that's what Dev's telling us, so we keep our fingers crossed that that's happening.
Yes.
We're going to be updating the subscribe sidebar widget. Major, 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 major refresh, and I think people are going to be really excited. Of course, I'm sure some people will say, I want the old one.
Yeah.
And I told the dev team, did you keep the old one in place so they could revert?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it's gonna look pretty cool. I'm running it on one of my sites, and it looks good. It modernizes all the links, and we've got three or four more new destinations in there.
Yeah.
And some other cool tricks. So hopefully that will be out on schedule on International Podcast Day this Monday.
And, it's actually, it's a good topic for, best practices. If you are podcasting and you're following, doing your show the Blueberry Way and have your own .com and you load, here's what you should do. You should load your website on multiple browsers and different screen sizes. To see what you can see that listeners see when they land on your website. And if you cannot see your subscribe sidebar or the way you have set up in your own website, if you've done it manually, added some sort of subscribe link, if they can't physically see that above the fold, you're hurting yourself in a big, big way.
Right. That's what I do. When I do a website for podcasting, I always make sure, can I play it on the iPhone? Can I play it on a tablet? Can I play it on a laptop? Can I play it on a desktop with a big screen? How does it look? You definitely want, the call to action, which for a podcast would be click here to subscribe or listen, to be above the fold.
That's right. And if it isn't and it's buried, you know, every, you know, you go look at your web stats, and I think you'll find that the high majority of people that come to your website come and go very quickly, and you lose that opportunity within those first 2 or 3 seconds is the people on your website to actually say, "Whoa, there's a podcast here. Let me look at that." And it gives them pause before they bounce off your website.
Yeah, you don't want them to have to click more than, you know, you don't even want them to click at all to see what you want them to do.
Or actually, you don't want them to scroll.
Yeah, or even have to scroll.
Right.
Yeah, in support, that's one of the things is, you know, is like scroll down, so people don't find things.
And of course, if they're on a Mac, you're telling to scroll up. And if you're on a Windows machine, scroll down.
I switched that up on my Macs. It drives me crazy. But, you know, the whole idea is, you know, you, for a podcaster, your website is where people are going to come to subscribe and listen to your show. So why not have that right in their face?
Yep. That's your best practice tip of the day. Yep. So let's talk about Blueberry, some news going on with Blueberry International Podcast Day, as you just mentioned, is coming up. And if you haven't started participating yet, you can win 1 year's of free hosting at Blueberry. All you have to do is submit. We have a blog post at powerpresspodcast.com on how to do that. Submit your idea for a new show. And you're going to get some starter gear and 1 year's worth of free hosting. And again, we're going to announce that this Monday. But at the same time, we're going to be participating in International Podcast Day. We're going to have multiple appearances. I will be doing the podcast awards on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m., excuse me, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And then we're on the following day, 2 times. Mike, I don't even have the schedule in front of me, but
I think we're 2 p.m. Mackenzie and I are going to talk about things you should know about your podcast.
Yep.
Trying to find it in my calendar if that's indeed the right time.
I'm later in the evening, like at 8 p.m. I got the schedule right here. Let me scroll it up.
Yeah. So, we're on at, looks like.
Yep, you're on at 12. No, you're on 12, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 Eastern.
Yep.
And then I'm back on at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. For my event where I'm going to talk about the importance of RSS in a modern podcast era.
Right. So, we're going to be on, 3 times, really, if you count your thing on Sunday night, which is not affiliated directly with Blueberry.
Right. But it's a couple events we're going to be on. So, the thing is they're going to wrap up at 9 p.m. Pacific, and that means I'm going to have to stay up until 12. It's going to be painful.
Very, when you're in Hawaii, that was easy.
Yeah, it was easy. It was an early afternoon dealio. So that's what happens when I switch the schedule. So anyway, again, we had meetings this week in Columbus. It was great to see the team. And of course, we got to preview of the new site, the new Podcast Insider site, the new Blueberry. We're going to be moving PowerPress Podcast and this show all to one site, finally?
Yeah, it'll be kind of a combined blog and podcast that, for Podcast Insider and anything Blueberry related. We're still not sure what we're going to call it. But
yeah, I think we talked about that yesterday. I think it's still going to be it's going to be Podcast Insider with Blueberry Insight, something to that effect.
Yep.
So, but anyway, it's where you'll find this show and all the news and support and all the stuff going on at blueberry.com. So again, PowerPress 8 scheduled to be released on Monday, but that's what's kind of what's going on besides all the other stuff. We got the team working on a Skunk Works project today.
Oh, great. So,
yeah. Yep. So a little fun in the office. The devs are having a little time. But anyway, let's talk about this interview we've got coming up. We've got an interview with David Rosen. The podcast is called Piecing It Together. So I think you're going to be enthralled with this interview.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's got a little bit more than piecing it together going on over there. So, definitely check it out. He has multiple shows. So We'll have links to as many as we can.
So I think what we're also going to do is just let you guys know, we're going to be doing some internal team interviews as well. So we're going to be talking about each of our podcasts and our Genesis stories. And I don't know if I can do all that in 30 minutes, Mike. I don't, can you?
I probably could, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, but this interview with David Rosen, piecing it together, we'll go ahead and play that for you now, and we'll be back with you after the interview.
Hey, everyone. I've got David Rosen on the line. And of course, David, welcome to Podcast Insider. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you on. And just so everyone gets an introduction, why don't you give everyone a little background on yourself before we get into the topic at hand?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I host a podcast called Piecing It Together, where we take a look at a movie through the lens of what other movies inspired it. And I have many different co-hosts and guests on the show. And we've been going about a year and a half now. And I also co-host a kind of politics and news and comedy podcast called Bird Road, and have a bunch of other projects as well. I'm sure we'll get into at some point.
You know, I think that as I've been doing interviews with individual podcasters, it always amazes me at the diversity of content. And I always am curious, though, and I think this is probably the first question I've asked most folks, is what made you choose the topic, and what's really the genesis story about starting your show or shows?
Sure, sure. I should say we started Bird Road first about 2 years ago, which was kind of the launching point of my best friend's podcast network, which is on Blueberry, and that's called All Points West. And Bird Road being something is kind of more his brainchild, but from the beginning was, I want, you know, to have me, Dave, as his guest or as his co-host. But I was constantly like bringing up movies and turning the conversation to movies. And finally, I was like, maybe I should just start my own podcast too. So, you know, and here we are.
It's funny how those things kind of happen, because it's like our passions always peek through no matter what type of content we're on or what we're doing. It's that stuff kind of pops through. So I take it you're a big movie fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I also compose music for film as well. So, I mean, that's been like my main career trajectory for many years now. And now podcasting has kind of taken over my life.
It's interesting you say it's taken over your life. So from the start of the show, then what exactly does that mean when you say it's taken over your life?
Well, like I said, I've got the two podcasts, which I honestly put like so much time into. Q hates it, but I put way more time into Piecing It Together than I do into Bird Road. But on top of that, I'm now also, I've been hired by two separate people for other podcasts that I'm producing as well now. One is called Awesome Movie Year, which kind of in a way feels like an offshoot of Piecing It Together, but it is its own thing with two different hosts. I chime in here and there as well. And then we just got started on another podcast, which is totally outside my wheelhouse. It's going to be called All Rice, No Beans. We're doing our first major recording session this weekend, although we've been planning it for the last few weeks. And I was hired by the manager of one of the big Mexican restaurant chains here in Las Vegas called Lindo Michoacan. And they are going to be doing a podcast that's kind of a combination of the story of the manager's father who started the chain, while also interviewing other restaurateurs and talking about how his story relates to their struggles and everything that they've gone through with launching their restaurants. And it's going to be a really interesting podcast and completely different from anything I've done before, but I'm looking forward to taking it on as a straight up producer role, like not being a part of the content really. It's going to be fun. And so, yeah, it's just a lot of podcasting all around.
You know, I think what's interesting here in your aspect is you've definitely are on, I think up to this point, most of the folks that we've talked to are been individuals in their bedrooms or in a kitchen, but it sounds to me like you've had a long career in actually recording audio, so you probably spend a lot of time on editing and getting it right, and probably the polish shines through on your show then a little bit more than some other shows.
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, that's definitely something that's been a part of my, I mean, got like 15 years I was working in music. So yeah, I'd know my way around a DAW and how to get things sounding good from the get-go.
So when you're doing your show, piecing it together, and you're looking at movies and then comparing the inspiration for that movie, how are you making that tie-in? Or do you get that, or sometimes does that come through with producers or the writers of those films have said, this particular movie inspired me to do this one? Or how are you making those tie-ins generally?
Sure, yeah. Well, it really comes down to, first of all, that's just always kind of been one of the ways I just like to look at movies. You know, it's like when I'm looking at a movie, I will naturally start to think about, oh, this reminds me of this, this reminds me of that. And I definitely don't look at it as a bad thing. I mean, I think, movies, it's impossible for one not to influence another. And, you know, everything always something that's come before that, you know, explores similar ideas or similar styles. But then also, you know, that's one of the things I like about not having a set co-host is, depending on who my co-host is for whatever that particular episode is, kind of brings out a little bit of a different flavor for every episode, whether I have like, you know, just like a general film nerd friend that's on for my podcast episode, or if it's like a, you know, an actual professional film critic, or I've had filmmakers on. So you get like different people's experience coloring the episode, and you might get some kind of more surface level examples that we end up bringing up, or it might like get into some deep movie that I've never even seen, you know, some of these film critic people that I have on my show, and I'm like, oh wow, I need to go check that movie out. It sounds amazing, you know?
Yeah. So how's your typical audience feedback? Are you getting responses from your shows where people are like, I didn't realize that, or they just, oh my goodness, that was a good piece of trivia, or where, you know, how's your interaction then with your audience?
Yeah, it's been surprisingly good. I mean, I'm trying to continue to get it to grow more and more, but we get a lot of feedback. I've found that especially on Twitter is where I've been getting the most like interaction based on the actual episodes on people. That was really cool to hear that, you know, that particular comparison. Oh, I love that movie too. That, you know, you're so right about that, you know, things like that. I find that Twitter has been the most active, and then our Facebook group also, I tend to get a lot of conversation around the movies, maybe not necessarily on the specific points we bring up on the episodes. But that's always something that I'm continuing to try to, you know, elicit more of that actual reaction from the episodes with people.
You know, and there's, I think shows are running in, a multitude of categories. You've got folks that are doing shows that are really down deep and spiritual. There's stuff that about finding yourself. But what you're really doing is you're doing an entertainment show, which is, you know, you're not necessarily going for that deep dive into someone's brain per se. And yeah. So, you know, your goals, I think, are a little different. So what happens with, are you getting any input? You get maybe an actor or someone that has been in the movie. Do they respond? Are you getting any celebrity type of responses? I'm kind of curious on that.
Well, we've had a couple of filmmakers who have been so gracious as to come on and do a special follow-up episode, which has been a lot of fun. Actually, this week we've got, which is, not a major, major celebrity, but we just did the movie The Velocipastor, which is a very silly kind of like B movie kind of thing, but it's more of like a really fun parody of those movies. And the director, we just recorded yesterday, actually, an interview with them, and it was a really fun conversation about, about parodies and B movies and every one of those kind of movies that kind of combines a monster with a, something else like a Sharktopus or a Sharknado or any of those kind of things. Right. And, it's a really fun conversation, and I'm definitely, happy to be able to do these things. Earlier this year, Sean Snyder, the director of To Dust, which is one of my favorite indie films of the year, actually came on the show, and that was amazing. And yeah, I always, whenever we do an episode, I mean, I don't think we're at the point where I'm going to bother reaching out to Spielberg or anything like that. But whenever we do an episode on a movie, I usually send a link to, you know, I try to find a, a press contact for, you know, like a publicist or something, and see if maybe I can get someone on. And so, you know, hopefully we'll continue getting more of them in the future.
You know, it's an interesting dynamic too, because I think about movies and, you know, I'm a big Netflix junkie or Amazon Prime, and, you know, there's only so many A-list movies that are available. Then you start digging mm-hmm. down in the genres and you find something you're like, I've never heard of this before. And of course you do the opening role and you're like, okay, this is definitely I don't know how you call it a B-list film or C-list film, whatever it may be, but I'm going, mm-hmm. so this should be interesting. And, you know, some of them hold me, but some of them I get about 20 minutes in. I'm like, oh my God, please kill me now. And I back out of them. But, you know, yeah. So I think from your perspective, or from, you know, from my perspective, it would be cool to, you know, probably subscribe to your show, because if you're not reviewing all A-list shows, the stuff in the box mm-hmm. office, but indie films, it'll give people insight on other stuff they can watch, because,
yeah,
you know, so many of us have cut the cord and, you know, we're not consuming time, you know, watching the news and all this stuff that's filling our head with junk. We can actually watch sure. something that's a little entertaining. And even though it may not come from a Spielberg, it's come from some up-and-coming director and stuff. So at some point, you're kind of giving press to these guys a little bit and helping them build a following too, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of the movies, we cover everything from, like you said, these smaller, you know, little films that, like, you never even heard of, to Spider-Man's and the Marvel and all that kind of stuff. You know, we do definitely run the gamut, but I love whenever possible to shine a light on something a little smaller, as long as I enjoyed it and can see things that, you know, where we can build our conversation and stick to the format, and we can see like clear inspirations and all that stuff to talk about, then it's fair game.
Yeah, I'm going to Dragon Con next week, and I've never really been to a con before. And I don't mm-hmm. consider myself, you know, a hardcore fan of a specific genre. I'm not a Trekkie per se. I like Star Trek and I like Star Wars. There's stuff I like, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to have to be like, reserve my opinions, because I'm sure I'm going to be amongst people that know every nuance about mm-hmm. movies and series. So do you run up against folks that are super fans of shows that come back and say, hey, you got this wrong, or your opinion was wrong, or do you have those hardcore folks that come out and make commentary?
So far, no, we haven't had any of that kind of pushback. The main pushback, if anything, are people who maybe didn't get that, oh, they're here to talk about inspirations of films and think like, oh, this is just, you know, movie review podcast number, you know, 623. And why aren't they just straight up reviewing the movie?
Right.
And so that's the one thing that we're always like constantly trying to push the message of what the show is supposed to be. And so as long as people get that, though, they seem to really, really be enjoying it.
Is it like people writing books that are writing movies? Is it the same type of inspiration, comes from lifetime experiences or something, that a message? You know, what do you find is a running theme of people that are writing these scripts and producing these movies? What is their inspiration?
Yeah, sure. I mean, absolutely. And sometimes, like, we like to call them puzzle pieces as our little theme on the show. The whole piecing it together thing. And so each movie is a puzzle piece in what makes up the movie that we're discussing. And sometimes we'll actually branch off and it won't be movies as puzzle pieces. Sometimes it might be some cultural moment inspired this, or, you know, America Today is something that mm-hmm. inspired something, you know, society, you know, like, so things like that. And, you know, or even just looking at books or music or, you know, any kind of thing that could have, you know, played a part in the inspiration for the idea or for the execution of the idea.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned something earlier. You talked about some other shows that you're now co-producing that may have been inspiration from your own show. And I've had that happen from my personal podcast as well. I've, you know, talked to dozens of podcasters that started a show similar to mine mm-hmm. based on, and I always am really happy about that, because I'm like, man, I've inspired someone to start a podcast and have their own voice. So Tell me a little bit about this, you know, this one that you're co-producing that was maybe inspired from your original show. How do you feel about that, and how's that affected the way you do your current show?
Yeah, so Awesome Movie Year is a podcast that is hosted by Las Vegas critic Josh Bell and his friend and a filmmaker and comedian Jason Harris, and both of them had actually been guests on my podcast a few times, you know, up until that point. And then they came to me and said, "Hey, we want to also do a movie podcast. We want you to produce it." And so now, once a month, they come over here and we just have a marathon recording session where we knock out like 4 episodes at a time.
Ouch.
And yeah, it's usually runs like a good 5 hours, at least 5-6 hours. And but we have a good time doing it, and I'm always in the corner. I've got a mic on me too, and I'll chime in here and there. But otherwise, it's their show, and yeah, they're going nice and strong so far. They each have their own you know, their own audience that they can promote to. Josh, being a film critic, he wrote for the Las Vegas Weekly for many years. I was actually, before I knew him personally, I had always read his reviews for many years in the Las Vegas Weekly. So, you know, it's great getting to work with them now. And yeah, it's going well. Really seem to be enjoying it. You know, they've got, you know, a wide, I want to say, built-in audience because of everything that they do. You know, they're constantly out there. Him, Josh, reviewing movies, Jason doing his comedy and his film stuff, and so it's cool to get like another audience roped in, and then, you know, they can kind of both feed into each other as well.
That brings up an interesting dynamic. I know a few people that do shows back to back to back, and you know, even myself here this week, we've done 3 or 4 interviews this week for Podcast Insider. And I don't know how, and it's been on separate days. So I don't know how I would perform if I was doing back-to-back episodes of this, you know, one after the other. So what is it, like a super Red Bull or Monster? You know, you have a case of that on the table. How do you keep your energy up doing 4 episodes and spending 5 hours straight doing multitudes of that? Is does the energy drop on the show, or are they able to keep pumped up enough to keep things exciting?
I think it's the desire to not have to do day after day after day that just like is like a, you know, a spark in the back of the brain, just like just push through, just keep doing it, just be on right now, you know, because yeah, it's definitely a marathon session. I know food helps. Food definitely helps get you through. Good snack breaks. But as far as for me, like sitting in the corner, I just sit there with my notebook and, you know, just try to eliminate some of the editing I'm going to have to do later by making as many notes as I can during the process. Because, yeah, to have 4 episodes to have to go back to edit is quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'm sure as the production standpoint, that is definitely, you know, because if you're just getting the file raw, which a lot of people are doing today, you have to go through and listen. At least have to listen to the whole thing once before you start back and go editing, because then you really wouldn't have a context of, okay, we should cut this or maybe rearrange that. So I always caution people that are hiring editors, make sure that if you have an editor, make sure they listen to the whole episode before they start chopping. So I think that this brings up a really kind of a new dynamic for the show, is I don't think I've ever talked.
Yeah,
to
I honestly.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. We had a little dip there, and so I missed what you last said.
Yeah. So I think that I think that dynamic works out. You know, that works out well when you're actually listening to the show as it's being produced.
Yeah. That definitely helps because I'm able to like, you know, just make a whole bunch of notes. Oh, you know, at that seconds, you know, to cut that, you know, oh, we don't need that. And there's a whole bunch of ums in that section, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, I honestly don't know how people with podcasts that they don't edit, where somebody else edits them. I don't know how that would work, but I mean, obviously plenty of people do it. But I can't imagine not having that control over what I'm putting out there.
And I'm kind of old school. I don't edit. And that, it's, you know, that's, you know, could be a negative sometimes because there's some stuff probably should be cut and isn't. but it's just been one of those things. I'll be frank. If I had to edit, I wouldn't be podcasting anymore. So I would probably be a good candidate to have someone edit my show. But
100%. The one thing. Yeah, the one thing that this one time I guess it on a podcast, and they had trouble getting the recording started for like a solid like 5 minutes or something. All that was in the finished podcast. Oh. And I was like, at least cut that out. Like, at least cut that part out, you know?
Yeah, and I think I've made some major boo-boos before on the show where I've said, oh, man, I'll go back and get done. And, of course, if I'm live, it's stuck and live. You really can't fix that. But I go back and maybe re-record that two-minute segment and drop it in there. I've done that a few times. And I usually admit it on the next show. I said, by the way, what you heard isn't what I originally said. And I think that allows you to, you know, at least on the audio piece, to fix something. Or if you said something, well, maybe I might get sued over that. Let me pull that out. Allows you to do that. So the podcasting part of this then for you has really taken on a life of its own. Did you expect that when you started doing your first show that you would be where you're at today?
Not at all, to be honest. Like I just thought I was going to have fun with my buddy doing the one podcast. And, you know, he used to live here in Las Vegas and moved to Miami, which is where he's based. And it was just going to be a fun way for us to finally, you know, long distance. And yeah, and now it's taken up all this time, but I'm having so much fun doing it. I really do enjoy you know, having these conversations and then, you know, putting it out there. And you know, it's funny, like with music, which, you know, is of course my main thing. It's like, I love making music. I love making music for film. I put out albums of music that I make, and I love doing that. But I had never really liked the part of putting it out there and having to, you know, self-promote and all that kind of stuff. I actually enjoy promoting the podcasts. I enjoy just continuing the conversation with people on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff about these topics that we're talking about. So while I'm certainly not, you know, stopping my music career, I just scored a promo video for a local record store here in town, and I also just finished work on a web series. You know, I'm constantly working on more music stuff, but I really enjoy putting podcasting out there, so that feeds into it so much.
Now, on this commercial gig that you've got where you're doing this series for this restaurant chain, are you going to be advising, or all you have to do is come in and produce, or do you have to do groundwork for them as well?
Yes, I will be advising. I mean, I'm going to be top to bottom, you know, producing the thing. And we've already had a bunch of meetings discussing, you know, everything from the flow of the show to, you know, getting some interviews scheduled and all that. And at least for the first, we're planning on the first like 4 to 8 episodes, I'll probably be there for every last bit of it. Mm-hmm. And then we might eventually get her set up to do at least some of the pre-interview stuff on her own as well. But yeah, I mean, I'm aside from not being on mic for this one, I will be a part of all of it in the setup and execution.
So how did you find, are you using talent for that, or is it a company owner, founder, someone that's involved heavily? Because not everyone is really mic ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in this case, it is the manager, is the founder's daughter. And yeah, that's all going to be part of getting the show to be the best thing it could be, is making sure that she's mic ready. And I have a good feeling she's going to do a great job on it. And as we're, you know, getting into the recording and all that, I'm going to be coaching her along and making sure that happens, you know?
Right.
And, but yeah, no, this is their idea that they wanted to do a podcast and they wanted to host it, and they just needed somebody to help them, you know, bring it to life. So I'm not going out to find, you know, talent necessarily. They are the talent, but I'm going to help coach them along the way.
I always say that, you know, when I think back when I did my first episode, I I cringe now compared to what where you're at. You know, I think it takes, you know, I say 40 to 50 episodes for someone to truly find their voice. And even this show is a new format for me. I've done lots of interviews, but it's mostly like tech guys talking about tech stuff. And it's, you know, it's pretty easy to do that. So don't, you know, with the number of episodes you've got under the belt for your shows, and of course, you've been in the space for a while. What do you think? Do you think that's an accurate assessment? 40, in this case, you're going to be coaching her. So she's going to have some help, but most podcasters don't. They're on their own. Sure. And do you think 40, 50 episodes to find your voice is the right number, or is it, or am I off base?
I think that that's not too far off. I would say like a couple dozen, but I mean, definitely it takes time, no question. And, you know, it depends on the podcaster as well and what their background is and, you know, what they were doing before they started podcasting. I'd imagine if somebody, you know, was just had no experience in, you know, being on mic or talking to a crowd or you know, talking in front of people or anything like that, and just went totally cold into podcasting, yeah, probably is closer to 40, you know, to get to the point where they're really comfortable with getting a message across, with actual, you know, literal mic technique and, you know, and making things sound good. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's not just, you know, talking to your phone and you're done.
Yeah, I agree. And But I also, you know, there's some folks that just come to this naturally as well. So I'm amazed sometimes when I listen to new shows, I'm like, wow, this person sounds like he's been on the radio or, you know, but I think it really boils down to, in the end, you know, for your show, you know, you've been in the space that you're talking about for a while and you know what you're talking about. And if you're passionate about it, you know, and you can sit and talk all, you know, you can go to a bar and talk for 8 hours about this you know, not even take a breath. So I think in that instance, that's why I always tell people that are thinking about doing a show or, you know, is this something that you can actually talk about consistently for a couple of years without running out of material? I think.
Absolutely.
I think new podcasts.
It's so important.
Yeah. I think new podcasters run out of material. I think that's why a lot of them quit.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you see people in the support groups that are like, you know, what should I make my podcast about? And it's like, if that's the question, I just don't see how you're going to continue talking. Like, you got to really be talking about something you genuinely want to talk about.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, David, this has been great. Where can they find you? What's the piecing it together? And where's your website and all that info?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. And yeah, piecing it together, you can find piecingpod.com. And of course, on all the major podcast apps, we're all on all those. And on social media, at piecingpod. And yeah, you can find links to all my other podcast stuff through my Piecing It Together website.
Well, I definitely appreciate you having here on Podcast Insider. And good luck with your continued, I guess for a better word, shows.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, so David, I met David out, I've known him for a little while, but saw him out at Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference doing some good stuff. Interesting show. A lot of work there to do that show.
Yeah, it sounded like it. So definitely check him out.
Yep. So we'll have, of course, the links and everything up in the show notes. So Mike, what you got going on in support?
Well, I'm getting a lot of people, you know, that they publish their episode and either something went wrong or something didn't go wrong, but they think it's wrong. So I kind of have this little checklist I go through when I publish an episode. Basically, you just make sure that you check that the file plays right after you publish, because if it doesn't play, something's not right. And the other thing is I have this little checklist. So here's what I do every time I publish a podcast. And this is assuming you're using PowerPress and all that, but it works for any other type of thing. But publish the post, make sure you clear any of your site caching. And, you know, sometimes you don't know about what that is, but, you know, most WordPress sites now do have some sort of caching performance plugin or whatever. So you got to delete, purge, empty, whatever it says, but clear your cache. And then you look at your post. Just go to your website, go to your post, look at it. Just, you know, it's a good spot, a good time to look for typos and other omissions and whatnot. But just look, make sure that it looks right. Make sure that the player you have selected is the player that shows up, because sometimes that can show a problem. Make sure when you hit play on the player, it plays. I mean, simple as that. Then sometimes click the download link. If the player didn't play, click the download link and see if it downloads or plays. It may not. And if that's the case, then go back and troubleshoot. If it does, it should be good. Then I always take the RSS feed and I go over to castfeedvalidator.com and I throw it in there just to make sure something didn't go sideways between posts. You never know. I mean, you know, one little comma in the wrong spot in your show notes sometimes can throw things off.
Or actually what people end up doing is put in some, it usually happens,
it's invisible.
Yeah. It's usually when they cut and paste something from a document that gets causes the feed to get broke because it's thrown in some ampersand or something.
Right. But it's usually something really simple that causes it to go sideways. It's like, yeah, don't cut and paste out of Word or Google Docs or anything like that. And then if all that checks out and it goes through Cast Feed Validator, you just relax in the knowledge that your episode's going to go out. The whole thing about, you know, somebody will publish and then, you know, 20 minutes later, how come it's not in Apple yet? How come it's not in such and such yet? Well, you know, that's the whole push-pull thing. So, you know, as long as all of that stuff in this little checklist that'll be in the show notes is right, then it'll go out. Now, if you have trouble with one particular app, well, more than likely it's that one particular app's problem.
That's right.
You know, I had one this morning on Deezer. Guy was having problems with Deezer's not playing my episode. And I asked him, well, is everybody else playing it? Oh, yeah, it's working great everywhere. Well, okay, well, it's more than likely something's up with Deezer, so we'll have to troubleshoot that. But
right.
It's nothing to do with your hosting company. It's nothing to do with your RSS feed. It's probably something, you know, just went weird at that particular app. A lot of times it happens with Stitcher sometimes, you know, or not a lot of times. Sometimes it happens with Stitcher where something went sideways on the last pull and then they quit pulling you for a while. So you got to go kind of give them a push. So contact Stitcher, you know.
A little nudge.
Yeah. And, you know, nobody's perfect. Stuff goes down from time to time. And, you know, even the mighty Apple has trouble sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes it gets slow in updating and then people are freaking out. You know, so I always, you know, use that golden rule, the 24-hour rule. You know, if it's not up in 24 hours, there's definitely a problem. But if it's not up in an hour, you know, usually stuff updates within the first 3 or 4 hours. But
sure,
especially if you're publishing on a regular schedule, so somehow I think Apple kind of knows.
Yeah, Apple learns that, and their bots come out and they say, okay, well, at 10, it's usually updated, so we're going to go pull it at 10, you know.
So that, you know, that's pretty typical. And that's what happens when you, the advantage of publishing on a schedule. You know, when you do that, then, you know, Apple is there and waiting for you. So anyway, very, very cool. Lots of stuff going on today and lots of, you know, this exciting weekend here, National Podcast Day.
It's
fantastic.
Looking forward to that. It's always a fun time to pop in throughout the day. And I can't sit there and look at it for, 36 hours that they stream?
Yeah, they go 36 hours. It's insane.
But, you know, I'll sit there and, you know, pop in, pop out, you know, and listen, watch. You know, sometimes in the middle of the night, they'll have foreign language stuff. And, you know, if I don't speak that language, I, you know, not that interesting.
Yeah, bounce out, yeah. So they're going to be doing this on StreamYard. And and of course, streamed on YouTube as well. So it should be fun to watch the whole event. And but anyway, come celebrate International Podcast Day with us, internationalpodcastday.com. And we hope that you'll celebrate as well. Do something, post on the internet. And of course, don't forget, we are one of the major sponsors over there. We were happy to put our support behind the event, because it's all about you and what you do in podcasting. So definitely check out International Podcasting. So I'm Todd at blueberry.com.
I'm Mike at blueberry.com.
And again, if you want to be on the Podcast Insider Show, we want you to send us an email. Let us know. And yep. we thank you for hanging out with us today, and happy podcasting, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time here on Podcast Insider.